God's been speaking to me quite, I won't say clearly, I'll say pointedly. And it's been about me. You know, as I've been looking through the book of Joshua over the last couple of weeks, I've been encouraged that, you know, when God called Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, as I was with Moses, so I am with you. And as we step into this new arena, as God has been with Jared and Rachel, as God is with City Church, so God is with us. And you know, I'm not one to think that, and I hope you aren't either, I'm not one to think that as the Lone Ranger, I can go out and, you know, conquer every enemy that's out there, because that's simply not true. I want to tell you the truth, and I believe God is moving us as a church in this direction. We need one another in order to fulfill what God has for his kingdom. Now, if you're a Lone Ranger, and I'm not saying you are, but if you are, if there's an independent spirit on the inside of you, you need to be a part of this church, because I believe God wants to break some of that away. And this is going to be a great church where that has an opportunity, perhaps, with love from the people of God and with God, obviously, to fall off. Because this is what I've learned and this is what I know. If it hasn't got the power to offend you, it will never have the power to change you. If it doesn't have the power to offend you, it will never have the power to change you. This book that I love so much will offend you, because it offends me. You know, this book tells me that my time isn't my time. This book tells me my money isn't my money. This book tells me my vision for my life isn't my vision for my life. This book tells me, the Spirit of God tells me, I was called for higher purpose. And I was called for greater things. And I want to encourage you, church, and I want to encourage you, visitor. You know, I think we live our lives too often living on the regrets, worried about the concerns, the pain, the hurt, the offense that causes us to stay where we are. And I want to tell you something just quickly out of this book. Moses was one of those. An awesome man of God. A man who achieved so much for him. But you know, he carried the worries of the people just too close. And he ended up just being a little bit distracted. As we move forward as a church, I want to tell you something. Are we going to make mistakes? Hallelujah. Yes, we will. Are we going to do things wrong? Yes, we will. Are you not going to be happy with people in this church? Yes, you are. Okay. But you know what? The opinions of men matter very little when you're living in the purposes of God. Let me just simply say this one verse as I kind of hand it back to Pastor Alan. Verse 7, Joshua chapter 1. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to the left or to the right, so that you will have success in whatever you do. I want to tell you something, church. We live our lives too often looking to the left and the right. We live our lives too often thinking about the concerns and the opinions, even though we know that the Word of God says go straight. We kind of go, would it be easier to go left? A little more convenient. It'd be much simpler to go right. That guy's got money. It might make it easier. It'd be much easier to kind of skirt the side, because then I'm not too accountable. But if God is calling us to go higher in Him, then I want to encourage you, don't deviate to the left. Don't deviate to the right. In the words of, you know, a great worship band called Split Ends, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Right. Just go. Everybody else go like, Split Ends? Who are they? We're on a path moving forward, church. As God has called Moses, as He called Joshua, and as time goes through, as we have this wonderful book, God did something when He called men and women to follow His call. And that call remains today. We are called for purpose. You're not just that guy, that girl, that student, that somebody who just lives their life behind that curtain that nobody sees and nobody appreciates. God of heaven looks down, sees you, and calls you to purpose. And he's saying, come on, your skills, your excellence, all that you are, I call it to you. Do not be conformed to the opinions of men about you, but be transformed by simply walking in the knowledge that he has called you. He sent his son for you that we might live on purpose. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. It's going to be exciting, isn't it? Hey, if you've got your Bible, you can turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. Rocky doesn't know what I'm talking about this morning, but some of that really weaves in really well. We're going to start by reading Romans 12, verse 1. How many people know straight away what Romans 12, verse 1 is? Isn't it a good verse? Good one to memorize, or a good lot of verses. So, and my apologies to those people that were in Tauranga last week, because you get a repeat. But what that means if you get a repeat is that you didn't hear it the first time. And God wanted to tell you twice, okay? So the title of my message is Simple Obedience. And let's just read this. And so, some versions say, therefore, because of all that's gone before, my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Now, look, what you've got up there on the screen is just my process when I'm reading scripture, is that I underline as I go. And it just makes things jump out at you. And can I encourage you with your Bible, whatever, whether that's an electronic one or if it's a book that you've got, underline it. Start underlining. You will be amazed how much more scriptures jump out when you've got a pen and a there, and you're just marking things in the little diary, in the side, writing little comments. It actually just helps. So this is my one. These are the things that jumped out to me as I read this. I plead with you to give. This is Paul pleading with the church. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. And I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I go, man, God's done an incredible amount for me, for our family. And going on the missions trip, I know the guys that went on that missions trip had a fresh revelation of, man, you know, we live in a great place. God's done a lot for us when it just comes to the natural things. And just so you know, the old guy there, the old guy that said, I'm going to go back, Ron, is 92. Wow. He's 92 and he's going, mate, God told me to do that. I think I need to go again. Anybody here over 92? None of us have an excuse. Simple obedience. That's all it was. Simple obedience. Because of all that he's done for you, and I don't think we can start. If we just start thanking God for all that he's done, we're going to stop there and go on forever. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. You know, if you read through the Old Testament, when it came to sacrifices, God was very particular about what sort of sacrifices he had. And sacrifices had to be without blemish. This sacrifice is not the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. This is a thanksgiving sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And for me, the acceptable, how he finds it acceptable, if it's 100%. If you say, I'm going to give everything. Right. To make it unacceptable is to hold on to something. So this is a living sacrifice that says, God, I give you everything. Everything. I don't know about you, but when I start thinking of that, I think, man, there's some areas that I'm still holding on to. But God wants you to give everything. Everything to him. This is truly the way to worship him. You know, we focus a lot on singing as worship, and that's a part of worship. But worship happens when we give our lives. It's an act of worship to be in simple obedience to God. And it's part of our worship. It's part of what you and I do as to worship to God is to give our lives. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. You know, God's always wanting to change you and me into a new person. He's wanting to change us. How many people want to change? Yeah. I look at things in my life and go, man, I really need to change that. I need to change that. And how do you change? Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I'm fascinated about our thinking. I think our thinking has far more power than we even realize. How you feel is directly related to what you're thinking. I often use the illustration that if you're at sleep at night and in your dream something tragic happens or something horrible happens, you wake up and how do you feel? Your feelings are suddenly affected. Now, here's the reality. Nothing's happened. There's absolutely nothing happened. You've just started to think that something's happened. And so the way you feel is directly related to what you think. So your life and how you look at your life is affected by your thinking. And God says, I want to change you, transform you. This is how I do it. I change the way you think. That's what the Word of God does to us. It changes the way we think. It's a method of looking in there and going, man, I'm being thinking the wrong way. I need to change how I'm thinking. This morning, my challenge is going to be one thing, simple obedience. That's what I want to challenge you to think about and to change your thinking and go, okay, how am I going to simply obey God? It doesn't matter what it is, how am I going to simply obey God? Simply obey God. So don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, a lot of people want to know, what's the will of God for my life? What's the will of God for my life? Here it is. It's just simple obedience. If you just simply follow what God's saying to you to do, that next step, you will fulfill His will. Again, we complicate things. We think it's all about the big decisions, but actually it's all about the daily little decisions. They're what are setting the direction of your life. The little decisions that you make every day on a Monday through to Saturday, is having effect. It's making a difference. It's changing your direction. And so one decision, do you know today you can start by making one change in your decision making and it will change your life? Just one decision. Might be, I'm going to smile more. Everybody give me a good smile. Let me see your smile. Smile at the person next to you. Don't breathe on them. You might have bad breath, but you can smile at them. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, this is Paul, I give each of you this warning. Always read warnings. Don't always do what they say, but I do read warnings. And we're getting into a country that has warnings everywhere. And I don't know about you, after a while, you think, is that really a warning or has somebody just put that there for health and safety and thought, and you become, you get warning fever that you no longer take any notice of any warnings. Is that happening to anyone in your job? Do they keep going, oh, we've got to be careful of this? And in the end, things that really aren't that dangerous become warnings. And in the end, we're then not careful about the things that are. Well, here in the Bible, here's a warning. Okay, so what's the warning? Okay, oh, it's about your thinking. Don't think you are better than you really are. In the context of everything that you have, sometimes we think we've got to where we are. The classic, I did it my way, got me to where I am, and it's not true. And that thinking, where we suddenly begin to think we've made it and we've done it, is very dangerous. And so Paul's saying here, hey, don't think more highly than you ought. Don't think that all these things going before in these verses are because of your amazingness or your goodness. It's because of God's love for you and what God's done in your life. Don't think of yourself more highly than you are. Don't think that you are better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. Here's the measurement of how good you're doing. How much are you walking in faith? What's your step of faith right now that you're doing in your life? Because that's the assessment of how well you're doing. That's the measure. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by your faith or by the faith God has given you. That's what I love about Rocky and Karen. They're taking a step of faith. It's a step of faith. You know? And in that process, there's been a whole lot of thoughts going around in their minds at times. Do we want to do this? Is this really the right thing? This is going to cost us. Do we really want to pay that price? And then you make a decision to take a step of faith. And that's assessing you. What's the faith step that you're walking in now? What are you doing that's by faith? See, by faith means you need God to do it. If you're doing something that you're capable of, you don't need God. So are you doing something that you're not capable of? Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. You know, I'm convinced that the body of Christ, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, affects more of our lives than we realize. It's interrelating into our lives. Do you know that when the church goes well, you go well because you're a part of it? Do you know when you're not doing well, the church isn't doing well? I feel in our lives that our lives are more connected to the kingdom of God and the body of Christ than we realize sometimes. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body, the church. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. No man's an island. No man, no woman is an island. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if I just do this at home, no one's going to know. And I go, no, that's affecting. That's affecting spiritual atmosphere. So your decisions at home are affecting other people here. Just as well, just like when you make good decisions, when you do good things, it makes a difference for all of us. It's affecting it. We're not an island. You know, any person that thinks they're an island and says, hey, I'll do whatever I want, is having an effect, I can tell you, straight away on their family. A decision that I make for myself will affect my family, positively or negatively. You go, oh, but I'm my own person. Well, yes, but no. Decisions I make don't just affect me. They affect Eleanor. They affect the kids. They affect the wider family. They have effect. They have effect on my job. Everything has an effect. Same for you. It's no different for you as it is for me or vice versa. Where are we up to? Verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't hold out.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's what Rocky was even talking about. Come on, don't hold out. It's not about him being the lone ranger, him and Karen go, oh, come on, away you go, guys, we'll watch you. Go. Oh, go. No. It's we're all in this together. Oh, I think there's a song. Well, I'm not going to do it, though. We're all in this together. Tell the person next to you, we're all in this together. Okay, verse 9. Don't just pretend to love others. I find this funny. Obviously, Paul thinks that sometimes we pretend. I'm not going to get you to put your hand up if you pretended to love somebody. Come on. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Oh. Here's my question. Whatever church you're a part of, are you lazy when it comes to church? Are you just about what you can get out of it? Oh, I just go along, do my thing. I like what Raki said. I'm just taking it. It's just the word of God. If it doesn't offend you, does it offend you? Would it offend you if I came up to you and said, man, look, just watching your involvement with church and I think you're a bit lazy. Some of you are laughing, some of you are not laughing. Come on. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I should have underlined enthusiastic. You know, one of the things that people asked me, you know, last 2 weeks ago we had Increase Conference. It was fantastic. And someone said to me, so what's so different? What are you guys doing differently? And I said, do you know what it is? What I think it is? It's that the church has come along with enthusiasm and expectation. That's what changes. You know, this morning, you're enthusiastic. Well, that lifts the atmosphere. And again, I do love Raki and Karen. They carry that enthusiasm. And it's contagious, isn't it? Some of you are more vocal than you've ever been in church. Why is that? Because, man, you know, it's enthusiasm. I think, and I'm not sure, enthusiasm in theos is in God. So enthusiastic. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You know, this last few months I've been talking about the spiritual dimension, and I'm convinced that the spiritual dimension is having a big effect in our lives than we realize, and that it intertwines in our natural and our spiritual. And, you know, everything is happening that God does has a purpose. I don't think it's an accident who you sit by. I don't think it's an accident where you work. God's wanting to use you in every place that you go. This week, some of you are going to walk into some situations that you've never been in before, and God's going to use you. And all it is being simply obedient to what God wants you to do, obedient to what God wants you to say. One of the encouraging things for me is that I was listening to Pastor, I'm going to close up in a moment, but I was listening to Pastor Don, and I said this last week, but Don McDonnell encourages me because he just practices simple obedience. You know, we were talking to him because I'll tell you a story about Don in a moment, but he has stories every week. Every week. Why does he have stories every week? Because every week he's listening to God. He says, so often I find myself, I'm not listening, and God's and not listening to the Holy Spirit. And he says, oh, look, you know, I tell you stories. He said, lots of times I don't do them. I don't do what God's telling me to do. But as I work simple obedience, I see God move. And he says, I'm no different than anyone else. And everybody goes, oh, what's your secret? Don, what's your secret? How come when you get on a plane, a lady starts crying? And I don't know if you heard last year, he jumped on a plane, and he was going to preach at a conference, and he gets on the plane, and they upgrade him to business class. So he's pretty happy, and he's just found out that the guest speakers that was coming wasn't going to come, and so he's got to do more meetings. So he's thinking, man, this is great. I'm going to do some study. I'm going to get my study going. And so he sits down there, and while he's sitting there, in his seat there, an older lady, 85 years old, starts crying. And he thinks, oh, man, that's the last thing I need, a crying woman. This is it. This is him, not me. Don't get it. He's going, man, oh, this is... And he's just sitting there, and this lady's crying away. And he thinks, after about 10 minutes, he goes, I suppose I should do something. And so he turns to the lady and probably not very nicely, says, what's your problem? And the lady goes, "It's you." Now he thought, oh, maybe I've sat in the wrong seat or done something. And he goes, "What do you mean?" And she says this. She says, "Since you sat down there, I felt the presence of God like I haven't since I was 9 years old. I was sitting in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher was talking about God, and I felt the presence of God, and I haven't felt that again until right now. What is that?" And he had the privilege of leading her to the Lord right there. And look, he has some happen all the time, and he says all it is simple obedience. When God says something to me, I just do it. I just do it, regardless of what I think may happen. He says the more I second guess it, the more complicated it gets. It's just simple obedience. Because see, right now, I believe God is trying to tell you something individually. Right now, God's trying to tell Rocky something. There's words for Rocky. In fact, I could prophesy over Rocky right now. If I just need to connect into it. Right now, God's got a word for the person next to you. All the time, God's got these words that he wants to speak into people, and we're the vessels that he uses. My last story is Don said he was hanging out with his mate Jürgen. They were in San Diego, and they went to go get a burger. And they're going to the burger bar, and they're ordering their burger. And while they're there, this huge bikie gang pulls up and comes in. And they looked pretty mean. And, you know, Jürgen sort of says to Don, "Oh, we better get out of here. This could get, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen." And Don and his relaxed, "Nah, well, you're going to eat my burger. You know, I got my burger." Okay, so they order a burger, and he's chatting away to Jürgen, and he said, "Oh, Jürgen, you see that really, really big guy over there, probably the biggest guy there with a big big arms and tattoos and sunglasses on?" He says, "God's just told me I've got to go over and tell him that God loves him." And Jürgen goes, No, and Don's going, "I know when God's spoken. I know what he's told me. I know. I've got to do this. And Jürgen's going, no. Okay, he says, "Look, I'll get the car started and running, and I'll just put it near the door. And if you just run, I'll be there." Don goes, "Okay, whatever." Walks up to this big guy. He said, I didn't want to be front on to the guy. He looked pretty mean. So I thought I came around the side and sort of just tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, mate, you don't know me. I'm just buying a burger over here. But God's told me to tell you he loves you." And he said, the guy looked back at him. Well, he had his sunglasses on because couldn't see his eyes. But goes, "Who told you to tell me that? Who told you? Who put you up to that?" Don goes, no, man, look, I'm just getting a burger over there, and God told me to tell you God loves you." "Oh, come on, who put you up to it? Who told you to do that?" Goes, "Look, no one, mate. Honestly, I was trying to mind my own business, buy a burger over there, and God told me to come over and tell you he loves you." And the guy, he said, took off his sunglasses and tears started to roll down his eyes. He said, "You know, my mum this morning, I was talking to my mum, and she said to me, 'Man, isn't it about time you got out of that lifestyle you're in? Isn't it about time you sort of moved on from there? You know, God's really got a plan for your life. And, you know, God really loves you.'" And his answer to his mum was, "Oh, well, you're my mum. You've got to say that. You have to say that." And he said, but if someone just out of the blue came and told me that God loved me, then maybe I'd believe." Yeah. Isn't that God good? Good. What's your act of simple obedience? How many other people did God ask to tell that guy that? How many other Christians went, "Oh, I'm too scared. I'm not going to go do that." How many other people didn't do it? God just wants you and me to have simple obedience. Why don't you close your eyes? God, we want to live our lives as a living sacrifice. We don't want to hold back on anything. Why don't you just go one-on-one with God? I love Ron saying, "Man, feel God saying me to go back again. I didn't really want to, but I'm just simply going to say yes." Simply say yes. So while everyone's got their eyes closed, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've known all about him, but you haven't given him your life. Maybe something's happened, or maybe you just never been at that point where you've known that God loves you. If it's true about that guy in the gang, it's just as true for you. God loves you. He knows all that you've been through, and He loves you. This morning, He loves you. And you have an opportunity to respond. And it's just simple. It's simple obedience, saying, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, I want to give you my life this morning. While everyone's got their eyes closed, if you're not in a right relationship with God, or you've never started on that journey of a relationship with God, you know, it starts one decision at a time, one little decision at a time. You might not know everything that involves. None of us know everything that it's involved. But can I tell you, it's the best decision you could ever make, to ask Jesus into your life. You weren't made to do life alone. You were made to do life in relationship with God. It's where you and I find freedom and fulfillment. So while everyone's got their eyes closed, if you say, Alan, I'd love to give my heart to Jesus this morning. I'm not right with God. I want to get right with God this morning. While everyone else has got their eyes closed, maybe you can put your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. I want to ask Jesus to come into my life. I'm just looking around. Is that you? Anyone? It's just a simple decision, but it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Best decision I've ever made. And I'm sure if you talk to people here, they'd say, yeah, no, look, that was the best decision. Asking Jesus to come into my life. What's God saying to you? Everyone else? What's the simple obedience for you? Don't make it complicated. What's the next step? What's the next thing? Maybe it is a hard thing. When you just ask God now, Father, I pray you just give me confidence. Give me the ability to walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe you need a confirmation that it's the right step. Maybe you've got to talk to someone. Say, look, I'm just thinking this. What do you think?